It's become routine now for presidential elections to split the nation between red states and blue ones. Differences between Republican and Democratic states become a barrier as high as the Continental Divide. As part of an occasional series, NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams is profiling governors who lead by crossing party lines.
By any measure, Virginia is a red state. The Commonwealth's voters have gone for Republicans in the last 10 presidential elections. Both the state Senate and state House have Republican majorities, and both U.S. senators are Republicans. But Governor Mark Warner is a Democrat who has a 60% plus approval rating.
Still to this day, there's day doesn't go by where somebody doesn't come up to me and say, you know, you're the first Democrat I voted for.
Before he ran for governor, Warner made millions as one of the founders of Nextel, the wireless phone company, working in politically moderate Northern Virginia, a stronghold for the state's Democrats. At a coffee shop in downtown Richmond the other day, the governor sipped a cold coffee drink and talked about his biggest political victory, bringing conservatives and liberals together to support a large tax increase.
We had to close a $6 billion shortfall. And boy, I made people mad. I remember I had to shut down the DMV offices where people go to get their licenses one day a week, and I got skewered. But, you know, we didn't have the money.
Governor Warner got nearly a third of more than 60 Republicans in the 100-member state house to support his call for the tax increase. It wasn't easy, but the Democrat was able to position himself as a moderate even as he proposed raising taxes in this notoriously low-tax, small-government state.
And the remarkable thing that happened was all the political prognosticators said, oh, man, you're dead on arrival. But we went out and made, went out and made 60 town hall meetings, and people of both parties stepped up and said, we don't mind having to pay a little bit more if we can maintain the quality of life we have in Virginia.
Warner, who's limited by law to one term as governor, is now in the last of his 4 years as the state's chief executive. The business entrepreneur who grew up as a Yankee in Connecticut ran a campaign focused on economic development in the conservative, more rural, southern part of the state. And he attended a lot of NASCAR races. Larry Sabato is director of the University of Virginia's Center for Politics.
He understood that rural Virginians, who tend to be the most Republican, love NASCAR. Every chance he got, he was at a NASCAR event. He hired a country band to come up with a country song about a guy who is the ultimate yuppie from Northern Virginia. They were trying to suggest that he was in tune with the rural philosophy.
At every turn, Warner openly appeals to rural voters and downplays divisive issues such as abortion rights, which he supports, and gun control, which he opposes. On race relations, he cuts the cake thin, too. Here he is on a recent talk show on Richmond's WRVA, answering a controversial question about the racially charged song, formerly the official state song, Carry Me Back to Old Virginia. The lyrics include references to darkies and slave masters.
Let me assure you, I think we had a special study commission to read it.
No, not another commission.
Let me see how much I can punt on this one.
Wow.
Warner's style on the radio and in every other political encounter is to avoid wedge issues that define the blue-red divide in American politics. His major political loss as governor was a straightforward referendum on increasing taxes to pay for new highways in traffic gridlocked Northern Virginia. In general, Warner portrays himself as a pragmatist who's focused on improving schools and bringing jobs to Virginia. Ken Stolle is a Republican state senator from Virginia Beach.
When Mark was running for office, he made a habit before he was sworn in and saying, hey, look, even though I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, I want to work with you on these issues. And the issues were education, public safety, mental health, mental retardation, things that I thought were important all along. And so since he's been in office, he's willing to try and find common ground on those issues, and that's what
we've
worked
on.
Let's give the energy chef.
As part of his practice of avoiding divisive issues, the governor put on a chef's apron on a recent afternoon and led a cooking class for a group of first graders. It was part of his initiative to improve eating and exercise habits in the state, an effort to cut down on state-funded Medicaid payments.
What's my favorite vegetable? There's two. I like asparagus. But what I really, really like, especially during the summertime, is I love corn on the cob. Oh.
The parents in the room are from Chesterfield County, and most are Republicans. But they like the Democratic governor. Anita Pike did not vote for Warner when he ran for the state's top job.
I felt like his policies weren't in line with what we Virginians needed. However, I'm not complaining, but I just think he's done a great job.
Warner's surprising success in Virginia has led to speculation that he could be the next Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton, moderate Southern governors who became successful Democratic presidential candidates. At 50, he's the head of the National Governors Association. In November, Governing Magazine named him its Public Official of the Year. But the very issue that is at the heart of his success as a leader in Virginia may be his Achilles heel in the national arena. Political analyst Larry Sabato.
He may be governing a red state, but he is known best for the ultimate blue Democratic position, raising taxes.
Warner is careful not to define himself as a man who wants to raise taxes. He regularly claims to audiences that in all Virginia history, he is the governor who holds the record for cutting state spending. Paul Goldman is a Democratic campaign strategist who worked for Doug Wilder and Warner, the state's last two Democratic governors.
I've run a few of these campaigns, and I tell people, you know, you don't want to identify with the National Democratic Party. That's the loser here. I think people at a state level want somebody who looks like they're trying to solve problems, who's not hidebound, not trying to be getting into ideological battles. And I think Warner has done that.
Governor Warner is critical of both the National Democratic and National Republican parties for the currently polarized national political scene. He did support Senator John Kerry's presidential campaign, but he did not agree with the way it was run.
You got to be willing to break with orthodoxy. You got to be able to say, you know, there are no sacred cows. You never get to the economic development issue. You never get to the education issue if you suddenly get dismissed on the cultural issues. And I think that was one of the situations with Senator Kerry. You know, they didn't listen to what his plan was on health care or education.
As for the GOP, Governor Warner says they're in danger of becoming captured by ideologues who put party loyalty above good government.
It seems to me that where the real ideological litmus test police are now is in the Republican Party, and the Christy Whitmans of the world and the John McCains. I think they get criticized, I think unfairly sometimes, for being willing to work with Democrats.
Given that Virginia's governors are prohibited from seeking a second consecutive term, Warner's political options are open beginning in 2006. The question is whether he can bridge the red-blue divide in national politics as well as he's done it in Virginia. Juan Williams, NPR News.
Next in our series, a Republican governor in a Democratic state.